This was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it's hump day, and welcome to KCNR 1460. Childish as it may be, but Bad Bob loves it, and I just, you know, I go along with him.
Welcome to my life.
Welcome to your life. Hey, good morning. It is 7:05 on here on October the 29th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. What a day. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment because I've got my guest co-host today, Gary Hayward, who is the manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
Well, you know, I'm glad to have you back here. Yeah, you know what? Look at that. That's that Marine haircut you got there.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You're one of those Air Force guys, you know, but you got that Marine haircut. Anyway, hey, thank you for your service, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay.
You
and, of course, hey, Bad Bob, what's the weather look like?
Mostly
today?
Sunny, high near 76. Partly cloudy tonight, low 53. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high near 73 right now in Reading. It is...
You want to do that again so people can understand it? Well, I would tell you what.
Well, you wanted it to be brief.
Did the guys here yesterday leave samples here? What? What's going on?
You wanted it to be brief. Mostly honey. Yes, mostly sunny in a high near 76, partly cloudy in a low of 53. And mostly sunny, a high near 73. No rain, as I might point out, as you questioned my judgment yesterday. And that won't be until Thursday. Right now, 56 degrees in Reading. The report is brought to you, as always, by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends over there, locally operated and owned, senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Chuck Kinney was on yesterday talking about the veterans projects he has. He's hiring veterans. Today. Okay. Well, you know what? We have a big day today. We have the people here that are from, they're going to talk about Yes on A. And the people from that were No on A were here yesterday. And no, they didn't leave any free samples, which explains our behavior. And then we have Norma Comnet coming in. And then we have Kristen Schrader coming in. I mean, you've got a full day here of, if you can't find out what's going on, you're just not trying today. So let's get started with that. And good morning.
Good morning. Thank good morning.
I'm here with Betty Cunningham and Kathy Grindstaff.
Good morning.
I was moderating for the Democratic Party headquarters for the
we remember all these, it well.
Y'all were there. And people were asking for escorts out to their cars. They were
that would be us people.
Yes, people were, you know, but everything was okay. There was no problem afterwards. Okay, the question is should the statutes as written by the Board of Supervisors stand? I think, is that right?
You mean the current ordinance we're voting on?
That we're voting on.
Yes.
And the question is should these be continued, or, and that's the yes side of it.
Yes.
And if you're voting no, it means no, you want these to go away.
Yes.
And they want them either rewritten or no ordinances.
Yes, we need to vote yes on Measure A. We need to support the Board of Supervisors, and we also need to realize that this is a land use issue and that we need to take Shasta County back. We need to bring it back to the county that we all remember it. We need to realize that this issue deals with environmental impacts and the way that the land is being degraded.
Well, now they're talking about is that it outlaws even the private, you know, 12. I think they said you can have 6 mature plants and 12 growing plants on your property.
Right now?
Well, that's what was under 215.
Just a matter of clarification.
Right.
There is an ordinance right now in the county that is a very complicated land use ordinance based on size of property and how many plants you can have. The new ordinance, or what we would like to see passed on November 4th, is to outlaw all outdoor cultivation. So you can have cultivation indoors, and you are limited to 12 plants. Indoors, all over the county. So that's what we're voting on.
Is that for everybody that has a recommendation? Like, say,
Gary
and I and Maria are all, like, you know, rooming together in a house. Can we each have our own recommendation? Each have six plants or 12
one of
plants?
You would no. be one of you would be a caregiver, and the rest of you would be patients. As and long as you are in that residence, you can build a building and grow 12 plants maximum for all of you. But
12 plants
per residence?
No, 12 plants. Period. So it's not 12 plants per person, it's 12 plants, period.
But because it is indoor, you can grow all year round, so you can have more than one crop of 12 plants.
So currently, what's the difference between what it is now?
Currently, there is, as I said, a very complicated land use issue where if you have X amount of, below 1 acre, you can do 60 square feet. If it's above 1 acre and under 5 acres, it's 120 square feet. I mean, it goes on and on up to 5 plus 20 acres.
What would this ordinance do, or what, if this passes, what will it do about the guys that are growing, as we found in Bella Vista, was it last week? 3,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Of,
crazy.
Was it 3,000 pounds right here? And then 300 pounds of processed.
Right.
So I guess 3,000 pounds of unprocessed brings it down to 600 pounds of processed. I didn't realize that it would, you know.
I think that varies depending on the plant.
Right. Anyway, Rick Aarons was here yesterday with Noane talking about it. He said that won't do anything. This ordinance has nothing to do with stopping the large grows, which everybody wants to stop.
Well, and I think, too, that when you look at the situation in Shasta County, you have both. You have the large grows, which are quote-unquote, they call the cartel grows, and then you have the backyard grows. Nobody, 85% of the people who grow in this county are not in compliance, period, with the current ordinance. If you do ban all outdoor grows, obviously it's much easier to see if there are large grows being grown outdoors. Law enforcement has dollars that allow them to go out and eradicate those huge grows. It's not going to clear everything up altogether. It just can't do it. It has never done it, but it'll give them more tools to use if our local grows, quote-unquote, are indoors and they're in compliance that way. Then they can spend their resources getting rid of those larger grows that we're talking about.
Where am I going to get my medicine then? If I can't grow, I can't build. These places are 12. Now. Be polite. I'm asking you the questions you've heard 1,000 times. Okay, so I bring up both sides here.
Yeah.
Okay, the house that you want Noane is saying these places to build them is going to cost $12,000. That it has to, it can't be done like old, like regular greenhouses. It has to be done a certain way. It's got to have a air scrubbing system. It's got to have all these different things on it. It's going to cost me $12,000 to build the house so I can have my medicine.
To build the outdoor detached structure.
Outdoor detached structure so I can grow my medicine. I can't afford that. What am I supposed to do now?
Well, if there's three of you living in that house, you can go together and build that house.
Okay, it's just me. So
you can also go to a dispensary and get your medicine, quote unquote
medicine.
Well, now, you know what? I'm going to have to tell you that I do know some people that use it that are veterans that they use marijuana and it assists them in sleeping and other things that the other drugs haven't. So I mean, you know, I can't say it's not medicine for everybody. I don't think you all are either.
No,
but absolutely not. But the what you are saying is the vast majority of people that use marijuana isn't for medicinal. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It is not. The majority of the people who use it and grow it is not for medicinal. It's for profit. And we've seen this in the county. We've seen what it's done to our land, environmental, our water levels, our chemicals being seeped into the grounds. We have water being stolen right out of hydrants, right out of people's water systems. So we've seen what that can do when it's illegally done. As far as medicine goes, if this is a medicine, then it should be approved by the Federal Drug Administration. It should be in a pharmacy where you know what goes into it. When you go to a dispensary or you go to somebody to buy it, you don't know what they've used in that ground. You don't know what they used as pesticides, rodenticides. You don't know any of that because it's not on the label. So safer access to medical marijuana is probably what we all can agree on, and I don't think that's what we have right now.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry.
So where do you guys stand on that moving forward? You know, right now, Colorado and Washington are both legal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 26 other states that are semi-legal. Well, where do you guys stand on that issue? Because you just said if it was regulated to some degree through the FDA, it could be considered acceptable medicine.
Well, if it's regulated through the FDA, then it would be approved by the federal government. Remember, this is still not approved by the federal government, still against the law by federal standards.
Yeah, and we have to remember, even in the states of Washington and Colorado, they're having issues there.
Sure.
In the state of Colorado, two-thirds of the state has banned marijuana. So just because it's quote-unquote legal does not make people in that state want it there.
Right.
So you have to remember that. We're always going to have issues with it. So until the federal government goes, okay, let's do the research. Let's figure out where the chemical compounds of marijuana that we can extract from that plant and use it medicinally, then let's get the test done and let's put it in the pharmacy where it belongs, where medicine belongs.
Right, because there are a lot of studies that have been started that are working out there.
Right, absolutely.
And I've actually looked into some of that, and they're really interesting.
Right. And there actually, there's Marinol, there's another drug that's in the approval stages here in America that's already been approved in Europe and Canada. So there are drugs out there. So,
okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. I'm here with, of course, my guest co-host today, Gary Hayward, Betty Cunningham and Kathy Grindstaff, who are Yes on A proponents. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs. Estate jewelry at its very best. This is where Linda goes and Trish Clark goes to pick up estate jewelry if you're interested in that. Plus, he has a direct conduit back into different places in the world for diamonds and emeralds and other types of jewelry. The only trained watch repairman in the area is at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive. Give him a call. 222-2750. We'll be right back.
Tired of the rising city crime rate due to our ever-increasing transient at AB 109 population? A yes vote on Measure F would send a clear and simple message to criminals. You will serve your time. Shasta County has had its AB 109 budget cut and a limit placed on the number of felons that can be returned to prison. If the limit of criminals returned to prison is exceeded, further budget cuts will occur, allowing more felons to roam our streets to commit more crimes. Monies generated by Measure F will be used for support personnel and to send criminals convicted in Shasta County to other counties, freeing up our jail to keep convicted criminals in and not being released to commit further crimes. 75% of the budget would be used to purchase 37,000 days of incarceration in other counties. Measure F will provide an ongoing revenue stream to get the AB 109ers and transients under control. Vote yes on Measure F, and let's get them out of town. Paid for by the Committee for Yes on Measure F.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Shasta County supervisors tried to pass a ban on outdoor medical marijuana cultivation. This new proposed law will be on the November 4th ballot, and it's called Measure A. Measure A will force all patients to store their marijuana in a specifically designed and permitted detached accessory structure, costing the patient over $12,000 to build. Without this building, Measure A will make both the outdoor cultivation and storage of medical marijuana a misdemeanor charge for thousands of otherwise legal patients in Shasta County. Vote no on Measure A. With Measure A, the county and/or sheriff's department could inspect your property without a warrant, solely on the merit of suspicion of cultivation. Measure A is a violation of constitutional rights. Vote no on Measure A. Protect your rights and register to vote before October 20th, then show up to the polls to vote. Vote no on Measure A. This ad was paid for by the Shasta County Citizens No on Measure A ballot committee.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBot, Linda is on assignment today because I've got Gary Hayward here, who is the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, and a friend of mine, and we're here. I'm very glad you're here today. You know, I've got to make this more. I'm just going to give you the show here, but give you a couple more times here, and then I'm just going to give it to you and Maria, and I'm just going to not show up one day.
That's kind of scary.
Hey, I want to talk about the Anderson Valley VFW Post on Veterans Day is having a big thing there from noon to 9 p.m. Fundraiser, live music, barbecue. A type 1 diabetes seminar will be Saturday, November 5th, or November 1st, from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Mercy Medical Center right here in Reading. Inspirational and informative speakers along with health and wellness vendors. Follow us from Dignity Health. Give them a call at 739-5711. Seating is limited down in the lower or auditorium, so these things are going on. I'm here with Betty Cunningham and Kathy Grindstaff, and they're Yes on A. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so we've addressed how they can get medicine is they can go to one of the communes around here, right?
Right.
And when Gary, that was really a good question, Gary, that about the, you know, hey, they're legalizing it, and it's going to get on the ballot here. Now, whether it gets legalized or not, I'm not sure, because you've got some major politicians who I thought would be standing up for it or against it, like Jerry Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Feinstein, you've got some major players that are against legalizing it, but and your answer to that was, well, fine, that's fine, but that's what then great then legalize it, make it a drug that's looked over by the FDA, and then have it, and so people know what they're getting, because back when I was a child and people were smoking marijuana, it's completely different than it is today, the potency and all that.
Yeah.
I mean how much it's changed. So
oh, yeah, it's gone from like 3% to 18% to 20%. Just to clarify, though, when they talk about legalizing, they're talking about recreational use, not medical marijuana.
Yeah.
The big difference between medical marijuana and recreational use, both Colorado and Washington are recreational use, not medicine.
Well, what do you say to people that say, well, you know what, fine, let's just legalize it and tax the hell out of it?
Oh, my God. We hear that all the time. All the time. And do you know that it's not working just like they say they will? Taxing it, people will still go to the black market, because why would they want to pay the taxes, the extra taxes on a drug that they can get off the street?
They're already complaining in Colorado about how high the rate of tax is, and they don't want to pay it. However, if you look at our history and you look at what legal drugs we do have now, which would be alcohol and tobacco, and look at youth use of both of those, and our both economic and social costs of both of those, none of the taxes pay for that. None of the taxes can meet what it costs economically for health and safety issues, for alcohol, for DUIs. And why would we want another legal drug? We haven't done very well with the two that we already have.
Okay. All right. So what do you tell people that say, well, you know, I'm kind of on the fence here? The other thing, too, was I think one of the points you all brought up during the debate that I was moderating was the number of marijuana fields that were close to schools. And we've had people come in after shows and with stuff saying that, and they can't get anything, can't get the county to do anything about it. Have you heard of these?
Yes, we have. Actually, yesterday, a friend of mine actually on Facebook posted a couple pictures right in her neighborhood and showed me how close they were to a church and how close they were to a school. And we get this all the time that the people come in and say, I have called, I have complained. Poor Sheriff Basenko, he is out there busting his butt. He's had a record number of complaints this year as far as marijuana
and he has no more staff. He's working with the same number of staff to try to get out and get around to all these complaints.
Well, the other question then is okay, so, you know, yes on A prevails. Outlaws everything. Well, and somebody still continues to grow their 15 or 20 plants.
Most people will not do it if it is in a structure. They probably will not grow their home gardens or their backyard gardens. And it'll be easier to spot if you are, because it will be outside. And so Sheriff Basenko has said this will make his job and his staff's job easier to do.
Well, you know what? I think that I've got no argument at all with you all on this. You know, I'm yes on A is fine. But I don't see a change, because if he doesn't go after 80 and 100 plant places, I don't see him going after 12 or 15.
He will if it's outside, because the inside, actually there'll be less complaints because it will be inside. You can only have 12 plants. Mm-hmm. So there'll be smaller structures. There'll be the filtration systems. There'll be security systems.
Well, I know that,
systems,
but that's if they obey the law. I mean, they're not obeying the law right now.
Correct. Right. They're not obeying the law, but when you're close to schools and the nauseous odors that are happening in the communities.
Okay, schools, yes. Okay.
They will not be seen by kids, number one.
I can
odors
see him going after.
Be there.
I can see that you can light a fire on his butt about going to the schools. Mm-hmm. But I think other places, you know, frankly, I think that we need to get control of this. I think that people are making tons of money off of marijuana and saying that it's for medicinal purposes. I'm sure, and I know, mm-hmm. you know, I know a percentage of it is for medicinal purposes. But don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. You know, it's an old saying. Is that don't tell me that this is not being used for money making purposes,
right.
And it's, and people aren't making a lot of
no,
money.
No, and there's still gonna, it's still gonna happen.
Right,
it's still gonna be there. We know it's
gonna send it further underground, I think. And the people who are investigating it for the wrong purposes, as you know,
it's gonna be harder for them to do.
But I think that they're gonna continue to invest even more and get more tricky about how they're doing it, and it's gonna be even more concealed. I'm not saying it's bad that we're taking out some of it, but they're still going to continue to do it. And if anything, I think they're going to get more creative with it.
Well, the thing you have to remember, too, the new ordinance gives us a quicker turnaround as far as eradicating those illegal fields.
And you're not going to see them anymore. You won't see. Now they can have these set up even more all over. They might even invest in other people to do it for them, and it's going to be more concealed now. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with having these outdoor grows and backyards and next to schools and all that. I'm just saying I can see it actually being more concealed now.
That they're going to start spreading. You're going to make it harder on them, essentially.
It's going to be harder on them, and they will eventually move somewhere else.
Sure.
Because it is going to be harder on them. And law enforcement has pledged to go out there and do the best they can. And until we get more law enforcement, we have to suffer with what we've got.
Well,
but we can certainly send the message.
Yeah, and border supervisors have said, hey, look, you know, and, you know, frankly, you get it grow like Bob's over there next to his house. He's got 80 to 100 plants
right
next to his house. The smell permeates.
Yes, it does.
His home.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so when he told the sheriff about it, oh, we've got to get code enforcement out here. So I think people are going to have to, you know, if when this thing, when this ordinance, if yes on A prevails, then there's going to have to be a draconian. Effort made by the sheriff's department and code to say put some teeth into this.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, there's not going to be a change. Not going to be a change. And when I call because somebody next door has got 50 plants, I say, I got people here with 50 plants. There's got to be somebody coming because they don't right now.
Right.
I think the priority will be.
Expect them not to right now.
Well, I think the priority will be if you've got 80 plants, 50 plants next door to you and they're outside, that is a priority.
How come I don't ever see any of your signs up?
Well, a lot of issues with signs. We have over 300 signs that we've put out there, and I'm sorry, you don't see a lot of them. They're almost being taken down before we can put them up.
Tell them about yours.
Even on my own property, I have two signs. We went to the Tea Party meeting, and as I was coming home from that, it was dark. They were still there, 8:30 at night. By the time I got up the next morning and left for work at 7, they were gone. They go almost faster than we can put them up. And I know other, I know the other side's signs are being stolen, but not as often as ours. You see a whole lot more of theirs than you do ours. So ours are the pretty green ones that say yes on Measure A.
Maybe you should go back to the cardboard and just put that, stencil them on there.
But they're very expensive. And I do have to make one comment as far as this election goes all the way around. I've noticed a lot of signs on a lot of different candidates and issues being taken, whether it's Measure B or all the candidates for city council.
Yeah, I've seen someone knocked down.
This is a democratic process. This is what we live for, and this is what makes our country, and I'm really upset that people are not respecting that this year. That's my other soapbox. Thank you.
Oh, no, you're right. No, it just it talks about being civil. And
respectful.
You know, we've got a good republic going here, and we need to be respectful for other people's viewpoints. Mm-hmm. We can't burn down their houses or steal their stuff or beat them up on the street. You know, anything like that. This isn't Chicago.
That's what voting is all about.
There you go.
Yep.
Last thoughts here?
Well, you mentioned, you know, what Measure A means. And I really do think that when Measure A does pass, this gives people a little more confidence and a little more, just more confidence to report their neighbors. Because right now they're so intimidated, they're so afraid of the backlash that they're afraid to report their neighbors with the 80 or 100 plants. And I really believe that with the passage of Measure A, this gives the people a little more power. They feel a little more empowered to make that call and say, come get them.
That's an interesting point, too, that right now they feel like if they say anything, there'll be a lash.
I've heard that, actually.
Have you heard that, too?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
People
not
are afraid.
You, though. Not too many things.
No, I
scare you. Huh?
There's none around me.
No, there's none around you.
And people are afraid to put those. People are afraid to put those signs out.
You've got like about 150 security guys too. I think you could just call. Just say, "Hey, I have a little problem here next door."
Then can we call you? No, people are afraid to even put those signs out on their own properties or in their windows because of.
I'm sure you know.
And so that's been part of our problem too. But what you do in the ballot box is your business. So vote yes on Measure A.
And we'll be right
outdoor park roads.
And we'll be right back with Norma Comnick, candidate for Anderson City Council. We'll be right back.
Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Living in a country where we're free, we sometimes take for granted the men and women who have made sacrifices for that freedom, our veterans. Hundreds of local veterans are in need of transportation to work and doctor's appointments. Join us this Thursday at Cornerstone Community Bank, East Cypress Avenue in Hempstead, and make a cash donation to provide our veterans free RABA bus passes. Help salute our veterans and help make their day-to-day lives easier. It's the least we can do.
Hey folks, you know where your Swap and Sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and Sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. 7:35 in the morning, October the 29th, getting close to Halloween. Bob's already got his mask on. 53 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's with that great coffee. And you know what? They have coffee in these little pound bags that you can buy different flavors and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those are great little stocking stuffers or gifts to people. You go to parties and just give them something like that.
I love them.
Any different kind you can think of. And then, of course, next door is the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Yeah, Tobacco and Brew Discount for Veterans. Great people down there. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Kathy Grindstaff and Betty Cunningham left, but before they left, some of the things they were telling me was it wasn't just the signs; they've been threatened. Their lives have been threatened, not lives, but their well-being has been threatened by people that because they know they're yes on A, and you know, people come up to them and threaten them, and I find that whole thing abhorrent when I hear things.
It's horrible. It's uncalled for. Yeah. I mean, that's their right to have that opinion about the issue,
and to be threatened like that is just. You know,
it's uncalled for.
Because I tell you what, the guys doing it wouldn't do it to a guy.
Right.
They wouldn't do it to you. They wouldn't do it to me. They wouldn't do it to Bob. But they'll come up and they'll threaten women. And this, to me, gets down to that lowest level.
Things.
But speaking of people I wouldn't pick on, no matter what, is Norma Komnik, who is with us here right in the studio. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You?
Did Bob just hit you in the face with the almost?
I missed her nose.
You missed her nose. Norma, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why are you running again? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you gave your time here. They need another voice there?
I was approached back in March and asked to run again by several different people. And so I waited to see who was running, and there was just only two seats open. So I thought, well, okay, we'll give them a little competition, if nothing else.
Well, there you go.
Great.
So, Norma, tell us about you.
Well, I've lived in Anderson, and actually always in Anderson, but in Shasta County since 1952. I'm a native Texan. And I came here in 1996. There was two fellows. One of them was Rick Kern, and Keith Webster said, oh, you make a good council member. And I said, maybe, but I'm just don't into politics, you know, and I don't see politicians are all crooks, in my opinion. I don't want to be one. And
my parents were married, you know, so that's okay.
Yeah. And there was three seats open, and there was three candidates. I finally filed so that, okay, you know, keep them happy. And so I filed, and I was appointed the first time.
Nice.
And the first time I was sworn in, the city attorney told me that night, I have to talk to you when this meeting's over. So I said, okay. He said, well, we have two lawsuits against the police chief. We have no money. And he said, you are the treasurer for the Chamber of Commerce. And I said, yes. And he said, well, I'm going to ask you. He said, it would be on your best interest and the city's if you'd resign to get away from any conflict of interest. So I went home and I thought about it. I did resign. And the next morning I called my good friend Jim Pope and I said, you know, I've got into a mess here, so I'm going to resign. Can't do this. And he said, no, Norma, you are going to be there because God put you there for a reason and you have to stay. And I said, do I have to like it? And he said, no, but you have to stay. So I stayed for 16 years.
Wow.
Sounds like Jim Pope. sounds like Pope. Yeah. It does. So the we've looked at Anderson, and Anderson is always been kind of a proactive town for getting business, as we know. Gary, you live out in that area out there.
Yeah, I'm a lifetime Anderson guy. Graduated high school, went to school there. You know, it's in my heart. Always will be.
Well, I know, and I know y'all are always out there pushing for business.
Hey, so. Guess what we just did?
I don't know.
Tractor Supply.
Tractor Supply is moving in out there?
They broke ground this week, and they are going to be, it's on Mark's Way where Ace Hardware is, and on the corner over there is Outdoor Creations. Well, the property belonged to Outdoor Creations, and they called me a couple of months ago and said, we need some help here because I know that you know about this property. And I said, yes, I do. And I explained to him, you know, this. And so he said, well, we have a little problem. The city has, they've given their part of that and has drainage fees on there. And the person that sold it to the city to start with said he had paid the drainage fees. And I said, he did. And he said, well, they said, no, he hasn't paid it. And I said, he did pay it. So we ended up with the city manager going to the escrow call, and there it was right there. So Tractor Supply is very happy, and Outdoor Creations is happy they're coming there. I was also helped them. They had a catch basin, water catch basin, right behind the store, and I took it to my good friend Dwayne Miller, the engineer, and said, what do you think? He said, no, 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 let's put it down here. Be best. So I was very happy to be a part of that and to know that it's coming, and it's going to be there soon.
Nice. Well, what do you see are the biggest problems facing Anderson the next 4 years?
Well, there's a lot of crime, and a lot of it is to, you know, credited to these prisoners that they're letting out. There's car thefts, there's burglaries and things like that. Keeps our patrolmen busy. And of course, you know that we just voted in a half-cent sales tax. That half of that goes to the police department. So I'm thinking we're probably going to be okay in the police department here with we get this. We're going to get three new officers out of it.
I was heard that. Yeah, and three new officers.
That's awesome.
And that should bring you up to the level that you need.
Well, I think
there's
still going to be short one, maybe right. two. But, you know, we've got some new officers there. And I think, you know, the young ones are pretty aggressive. And I think that we're looking at some good progress in the police department.
I think the standards you guys have brought to the police department over the last 5 years is showing. And it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a big difference in how they address everything and professionalism, everything.
Well, you know, we were spoiled a few years ago when we had Neil Purcell here.
Yeah.
He was a cop's cop, yes. And a part of the community. He was a temporary person, but he was truly a part of the community. I mean, he was right in with everything.
I saw him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the people that's bugged me to run again for some time. So.
Oh, gotcha.
You got a lot of people. Okay, when you see the crime is the problem, do you have many of these illegal camps in Anderson? And if you do, what is your solution for handling that?
There's not a lot of them there, but they're working on those. They go and try to, you know, take care of them, eradicate them, and move them on. And they give them, you know, you can go here. You can go to the Good News Rescue Mission. You can go different places and get some help. And that's – some of people just don't want help. You know, some of them like being homeless. And those kind of people you're probably not going to do anything with. But the others, if we can help them get their lives back together and move on, that's the goal.
Okay, the question the other day was when we were talking about this, was there any truth to the rumors that Anderson police were putting transits in the back of their cars and dropping them off up here at the county hall? It's a county seat here in Shasta County, saying, "Hey, look, you get better deals here."
Well, I don't know that that's happening, but you know, if it did, I guess we'd have to talk to the police about that because I really don't know if they do or not.
All right.
Hey, I suppose it would be tempting.
It would be tempting. I was being a little facetious there, I think. I think I was kidding there, but you know,
instigating, sir.
I was instigating. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Hey, look, we've got to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Redding, California. Give him a call at 222-8222. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service for all of his people and having ammo and guns at great prices. When ammo was so hard to find and guns were really hard to find, John would spend hours in the middle of the night to bring in ammo and keep it at very reasonable prices. He's not making he's not making money off that ammo, just so his customers will have it. John Bastiani, 2539 Larkspur. All right, we'll be right back. Gary Hayward, Carl Bott. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones. And it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
At Cypher Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypher Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed. And we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Rumors spread around in that Texas town.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Gary Hayward. Gary's my co-host today.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. You know, like I said, you, because Marie shows up too. So what I'm going to do one of these days is we walk in here, I'm going to say, hey, I've got some contentious guests here. So I'm just going to I'm going to go get an omelet. And, And I'm going to leave them to you. You know, it's kind of like the guy brings in the grizzly bear here, skin this one. I'll bring another one in a couple minutes.
That'd be fun.
I think, you know what, you guys are ready for that. A local optometrist here in town by the name of Christy Davis is going to be offering free comprehensive eye examinations for all U.S. military veterans during the entire month of November. Is this cool? She's going to be at her Park Marina office. All you have to do is show proof of service. Currently serving, honorably discharged, or retired. And that's cool. You know, I know that you all do a lot of stuff out at Wind River, but, you know, this is great. And we're going to have her on the show, too. But her number is 222-7271. So if you need an eye exam, you're a discharged veteran, you've got proof of service, give her a call. 222-7271. Also, Cattleman's is offering veterans a sirloin steak dinner
on the November 11th. And all active, inactive, and retired military personnel. Complimentary 8-ounce sirloin steak. Wow. So that's kind
of
cool.
That is one of my favorite days of the year.
It is. Yeah, Veterans
Day. Awesome.
Yeah, I need to talk to you about that because we have something coming on here that
great.
We need to. I mean, on that day, if you want to be with us, but we'll get back to that.
Awesome.
Norma Komnick here running. You know what, Norma? This is your fourth time you've run or fifth?
Fourth.
This is your fourth time you've run.
Yes.
Okay. Now I know you're concerned about the water and the electricity or water in the sewer going up.
Yes.
Because it's hitting people on fixed incomes.
Yes. It is. I think probably the veterans are fixed income, to my knowledge, they are, and the Social Security people are. And so when you raise these things, like we were in the paper says we're going to get $20 a month Social Security raise. So I went home and I checked my sewer on my property tax, and I checked my water bills for a year, and mine's going to go up. It's a total over 2 years of about $65. And so what I looked at was, what's this going to do to some of the people that are really limited on income?
And so what can you do to alleviate that? Is there anything the city can do?
I don't think we can. I think it's already passed, and I think it's done.
Okay. And is this something that is just passed by the board, the council?
Yes.
Would you have voted for that?
No.
Okay. So that's not something you would have looked at the whole thing?
Well, the sewer fund was not upside down. Water, yes, the water is.
Mm-hmm.
And the water probably is because they don't meter the parks' water that's used. And we have to have water in the parks. Parks are our shining glory in Anderson. And this is not only the Anderson River Park, it's the other Little League baseball field, which Gary may have played there when he was young. But it's, there's a lot of parks there that have to be watered and things, but it's not metered. So in the water usage, it's really not counted as such.
Okay.
So if there were some limitations or meters put on, maybe there would be a way to create some savings that wouldn't be passed on to the customers or the citizens?
Would there be, if it was metered, would you be able to take control back again?
Well, it may make the people happier to know that the citizens actually are paying for that water that is used in the parks. And, uh-huh. and granted, there are parks. But I think if you say to them, well, look, this part of this is we're providing the water for the parks, and so maybe. But I think there was complaints at the city council meeting, and I think it's because, people notice and you get your hand in your pocket.
So what would you do what would you bring to the Anderson City Council, Norma?
Experience, for one thing. A lot of experience. We had annexations and we were there. We had an eminent domain, which turned around and bit us really hard, cost a lot of money. And I think I don't like Shascom. I'm hearing a lot of things about Shascom's not the service that we had when our dispatch, our 911 was in Anderson at the police department.
And Shascom is where? In Redding?
Shascom is county-wise.
County-wide. So if there's a problem with 911, it comes out of Shascom. Is that it?
It does.
Yeah, they consolidated the services to save mm-hmm. money and, I think, make it less, less impactful.
Right. No, I can understand that.
Save us money. We're paying $580,000 a year for Shascom service. I just checked with the city manager, and he said, well, there's part of this, that when Shascom started, everybody, county, cities, all owed a certain amount, startup thing. But then, before, it was a local board. It was like the local board here. Now it's a JPA.
I'd be curious to see what the difference was with now, too, currently, if you were to staff your own station.
This is a 911. This is just the call, or this is the people going out on emergency calls?
Well, I recently had one call that said he called early in the morning to say that, he had a burglary in his car parked in the driveway. And so the Shascom operator says, I'm sorry, but there's no Anderson police available right now. So he said, I get in my car and I go down to the station. There's two guys sitting there drinking coffee. And he said, you guys don't have time to answer a burglary call for me. And he said, we didn't get a burglary call. So did they not get a burglary call, or did they just tell him they didn't? I don't know.
Well, but Shascom just does the notifications. Like you call 911, Shascom says, okay, you need help, and then they connect you to the right agency, right?
Right.
And that cost Anderson $500,000 a year for that?
$580,000.
That doesn't include the police going there. That's just turning around and calling.
That's just the service.
Gary, I think you and I could do that for half that.
It sounded interesting when I was looking at the numbers. I started thinking about it.
$585,000 just for Anderson?
Well, you know, when I first went to the
council. Am I missing something here, Bob? You're getting ready
well,
to jump
it's
in your
not
tip.
Exactly right. Picking up two telephones and transferring a call. The communication center has to meet very strict state, federal guidelines for a secure communication center. If you go up there, it's up there by the Benton Air Park. The place looks like Fort Knox. It has to be a secure location with backup communications, secure lines. Does the price seem a little high? Yeah, but they do have certain standards they have to meet.
I understand that, but we could put it in your vault room at the casino, I thought. You know? I mean, that's pretty...
Maybe Gary should start his own, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No ideas here. Stay out of this. Okay. All right. So that does seem like a lot of money. What other things do you want to accomplish if you get elected?
The other one thing that I think, when I was on the council, we had the marijuana 1 year, and we had a police rape at the same time. We did not have – our city attorney retired. We did not have anybody local that bid on the job. So we went to a city attorney – service in Sacramento. And I recently checked on that, and he said that is costing us $150,000 a year. And I said, for how many legal hours? And he said, roughly 400. We're paying mileage, overnight stay, food. And, you know, it's I think that we could get a local attorney.
So we don't have our own attorney at Anderson?
No. We have a service from Sacramento.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh. I'd like to see that come back to local service.
I think it would be good to have somebody in-house when it comes to your attorney.
Well, you know? we had an in-house attorney before, but there's a lot of times when
or someone local who's providing the service.
There's a local attorney who does most of the property.
Okay.
For us. But I know one of my competition barons said he checked, and there's three other attorneys in Redding that do city type stuff. And so I'm thinking we could get rid of the mileage and the lodging and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's something we should take a look at.
So Norma, what with the city of Anderson, I know that back when all this stuff was built, you know, there was a plan that was done. Mm-hmm. And where are they at with the next plan? Is there another plan in place yet, or has that happened, or is that happening?
They have what they call a general plan for the city to start with. We just did a general plan for the park, and I attended that, and I wasn't impressed with what, you know, there was out of town. They have these out of town people that do these things. And this person that did this did not know a whole lot about our parks. Our parks is, you know, the parks that are there, we is purchased from the city, purchased the property from it, and different things.
Right.
We have one person that doesn't like the disc golf, and she doesn't like the little airport. We have a little miniature airport down there. She doesn't like that, and we have people across the river that it disturbs them. You know, you just can't make everybody happy.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
With the general plan process, who's involved in that?
Well, it's the city has some outside, you know, like engineers and type things.
Okay.
Okay, Norma, we just got about a minute left. So tell us why people should vote for Norma.
Well, you know, I think that we have I have some stability. I have some experience that I know quite often our city manager or somebody in the city calls and said, do you know where this is or what this is? And I do. And we went through – I went through the annexations, which they're going through right now, an annexation, and we've been that, but we were also, our council that I was on was very friendly when it come to business. I mean, we kind of like helped, instead of saying you can't do that, we'd say this is how we can get there. And that's what we need now is people need to know, and the people need to know that they're going to get some help there, not just turned away when they go to City Hall. They need to know that there's somebody there that can help them with whatever their project is.
Okay. Our guest has been Norma Komnik, who is running for Anderson City Council. She's got the experience. She's done this before. And what is it, a week away? No, 6 days away.
Yeah.
Election day.
Tuesday.
Okay. Well,
So I would appreciate your vote. Anybody that lives in
Anderson's how do they get a hold of your website or any of that stuff?
I don't have a website. It's just normacomnick@yahoo.com.
Okay. normacomnick@yahoo.com. Thanks, Norma. And thanks. You know, frankly, Norma brings in
cookies.
She brought the cookies in, Bob. I'm hiding them from you, so there'd be some left at the end of the evening.
I'm not welcome unless I bring cookies.
No,
Bob.
You're always welcome here. Norma, you're always welcome.
The cookies help.
Hey, we're going to be with Kristen Schrader, who I just saw walk by. He's going to be our guest for the next hour, running for Reading City Council. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bach, Gary Hayward.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama putting an emphasis on healthcare workers as he tries to make his argument in the debate over Ebola quarantines.
At the White House this afternoon, the president will showcase the work of healthcare workers battling Ebola in Africa. He'll make remarks with those who have been to Africa or are about to go there. The president will be introduced by Dr. Kent Brantley, the Christian missionary who was infected with Ebola while working in Liberia and was successfully treated back here in the U.S.
This White House correspondent Greg Clugson, also at SRNNews.com. A nurse from Maine who is in isolation after treating Ebola patients in West Africa says she's prepared to go to court if that's what it takes to fight the state's quarantine law.
I am not going to sit around and be bullied by politicians and forced to stay in my home when I am not a risk to the American public.
Nurse Casey Hickok's comments airing on NBC's Today show. She says she had no contact with anybody yesterday and will have no contact today. But after that, she's threatening to violate whatever rules to try to keep her inside of her own home. She thinks she poses no risk. A slow-moving lava flow from Hawaii's Kilauea volcano could soon consume a second structure, a two-story house in the Pahoa Village community. As for local residents like Denise Longermas and her husband, they can't believe that they have to pull out.
It's so surreal. I never, you know, in my wildest dream when I was a kid growing up, did I ever think I'd be running from lava.
Well, residents have had weeks now to pack up what they could and prepare to evacuate. With that lava inching closer and closer every day, it's about time for some people to seriously consider getting out of harm's way. About three or four dozen homes and other structures could be impacted, according to local officials. At Wall Street, the Dow's coming off a strong session yesterday in which it picked up 188 points. It opened up at the opening bell this morning at 17,006. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Fiat Chrysler recalling more than 566,000 trucks and SUVs, according to SRN's Linda Kenyon.
This is actually two separate recalls. One involves malfunctioning fuel heaters that can cause fires. The other involves a software glitch that can disable the electronic stability control. The recall involving the fuel heaters covers almost 382,000 Ram 2500 and 3500 pickups and Ram 4500 and 5500 chassis cabs from 2010 through 2014.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon reporting. Traders anxiously awaiting the results of a meeting of the Federal Reserve in Washington. That's where officials have been weighing whether it's time to change monetary policy. The Fed is expected to announce an end of its monthly bond buying program. It's also expected to signal, though, that it remains no hurry to raise its key short-term interest rate. The discussions will wrap up with a statement on the Fed's decision early this afternoon. This is SRN News. The days of a la carte TV programming may be just one step closer.
The FCC is seeking comment on a draft rule change that would allow internet companies to offer live TV over the web. Right now, those offerings are generally only available to customers who have satellite or cable packages. The rule change could allow companies to offer live channels separately and let consumers pick and choose only those channels they want, instead of paying for bundled packages of channels they don't want.
That's SRN's Wally Hines. Last night, a dramatic scene over the skies of Virginia along the coast where they were attempting to hoist a rocket to carry about 5,000 pounds of supplies to the International Space Station. Those supplies and experiments on board all lost when the rocket exploded.
The amount of investment of time and energy and enthusiasm into these small satellites on this rocket will be have a much wider impact across the scientific community.
That lament from space scientist Chris Scott, who spoke to Britain Sky News. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is a Wednesday, October the 29th. Good morning. 8:05 in the morning, 53 degrees out there. We're going to hit the weather in just a second. I'm here with Gary Hayward, my guest co-host. Of course, Gary is the general manager out there at Wind River Resort and Casino. And just has a, you know, I'm just always glad when you're here. You
Thanks,
know,
be, Carl.
Well, you know what? Here's, you know, a veteran of the Air Force and so much you all do for our community. I can't say enough about that. They help you do to veterans. We're having the Marine Corps ball. We're having the Marine Corps ball out there. In fact,
Which, thank you. That's an awesome event.
Yeah. Well, we thank you all too because you do a lot for us for that. And then all the other things you do, you know, Bark and Wine and Brew are out there. And just there's so many events that you have. The Make a Wish, all that's out there. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that you all treat everybody really well. And it's a great atmosphere. So, and we're here, of course, with Kristen Schrader, who is running for Redding City Council. And we'll get to Kristen in a second here. We have to get some weather going.
We do, in fact, have weather today. It will be mostly sunny, a high near 76, partly cloudy tonight, the low around 53, mostly sunny for your Thursday. Calm winds around east-southwest. Could have rain by Thursday night. Rain will be happening on Friday. Currently in Reading, 57 degrees. The report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends, locally operated and owned right here in Reading and Shasta County. Senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. People there, they want to make sure you're taken care of, especially the people up in higher elevations. It's really getting cold up there. And I don't like to talk out of turn here, but last night I went to sleep early. And slept all night long, except for a brief time at 3:30 when the dog ran around in circles screaming, shouting, and barking at a cat that was outside doing things. But then went right back to sleep because I'm on my sleep number bed with my sleep number setting of 40. And Linda's sleep number setting is 40. Now, why is it important? Because this bed has dual air technology. So she can have a different number than I do. Sometimes she's a 45. Sometimes you have 50. Sometimes I'm 35. Sometimes I'm 70. A couple of times we slept at 100 because we forgot to fix the bed. And you still slept well. Now, this is America's favorite bed. This is a Consumer Reports number one bed in the country. Guaranteed. It has made in America. You can't say much more than that except one thing. It now has Sleep IQ technology. And this is on the new beds. And what this does is it senses how you sleep. And if you're rolling around, or if there's, you know, it senses that it's uncomfortable because you're moving a lot, it's going to send you a message off an app that says you might want to try these different settings for you so you sleep better. So see, not only does it take care of you while you're awake and you can fix the bed at any type of a firmness you want, and then but when you're asleep, it takes care of you also.
Carl, I wish the audience could see you describe it. It's phenomenal. I mean, it had to have been life-changing for you.
I tell you what, we don't talk about things unless we like it or we use them. Right. And we tried it out and we used it because if it didn't work for us, I was just going to go, That's it. But this thing works. And the way and you figure out is how can you get one of these beds? Well, you head on over to the Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center and talk to Brian or Janice, and they're going to tell you what a great deal they have out there is a queen-size bed, C2 queen-size bed with sleep air with the dual air technology and the Sleep IQ. And it's only going to cost you $999.98. You go only. But you figure out how this mattress lasts for 20-something years. How much is that worth? Awesome. Anyway, Sleep Number. There you go. Kristen Schrader.
Good morning.
Okay. And let me see what we have here. Kristen Schrader. This is the third, fourth time at least. Plus, we see you all over town, as we do all candidates.
Right.
You know, is it tough running just a little background. Is it tough running a race with people you see all the time at different events, and knowing that you all are just going at it tooth and nail?
Well, not really. I have a lot of community experience, so I've been involved in a lot of organizations. I've chaired organizations, local organizations, nonprofits. And I have been doing a lot of collaboration, a lot of organizing to get things done in our community. So I think the difference is that when you're doing work for a nonprofit or a fundraiser, you have a goal of, you know, raising a certain amount of money or a certain amount of awareness, and you're striving for meeting that goal. The difference in running for office is there's more intensity because it's going to be determined by one day. You know, the lead up, obviously, right. We've done a lot of groundwork. We have met with, and our goal was to reach 12,000 homes, and walking with my committee and my daughter and I were walking on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
So we were getting out the vote, and, that's one day is going to decide this. So it's that is a difference, is there's some intensity. And after that, I hope I'm on the city council and can make a difference for our community. And if not, well, I'll continue to work on the projects that I've been working on for 20 years.
Okay.
What was your motivation for running?
It has been because I have worked so long in the community, and I recognize some of the needs that I feel like I can contribute to, asking good questions, looking at things in a thorough way, evaluating, you know, what should we be looking at in 5 years, what improvements can we make with where we're at now. And so I have 16 years experience in governance as a school board member. I feel like I have a lot of background in evaluating, making tough calls on budgets. So I feel like now's the time to be involved in the city council.
Awesome.
We're going to have to pad this because I keep slamming my coffee cup down on the ground here. Measures A. Mm-hmm. Measure A is for, I know it's a countywide ordinance or measure here, about the growth of marijuana. Yes on A means to uphold the Board of Supervisors' plans to outlaw all marijuana growth, and no means to oppose that and make the Board of Supervisors go back again. What's your stance on that one?
Well, the way I understand it now, and I've looked at it a little, is I prefer that we restrict the grows outdoors in the county, which is what the initiative would do, the ordinance
right.
would do. So I'm in favor of Measure A. We have property in the county, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm concerned about the environment. I'm concerned about the use of pesticides, the unlawful taking of water, you know, from other people's property. So I think we need to have a different set of enforcement that is out there and restricts the growth outdoors. I respect people's need or desire to have medical marijuana. You know, I think we just need to figure out a better way to regulate it. And right now, I'm in favor of A.
Okay. Well, right now means like five more days. Huh?
Actually, I voted yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
So you voted yes on A then?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Let's go to a Measure B, which seems to have caused all types of consternation here in our town. Do you think that do you think that people are going to be able to recover from B?
Oh, of course. I think we have struggles. I want to use the example of the library. I couldn't believe I'm born and raised in Reading. So I have a lot of experience here in Reading, and I I think I was living away at the time after, you know, after college and before I moved back to Reading in 1994. But I couldn't remember, I can remember when we didn't approve a tax for the library. And I thought, how can that be? But look, we turned the thing, we turned our community around and we have the most beautiful library and wonderful public facility there because we realized the importance of, you know, an asset like that. So I think, yes, we are going to recover from any of these issues that are, you know, coming before us because we'll figure out what's the best way moving forward. I do support Measure B. I support the building the hotel because it will help make Turtle Bay self-sufficient. It provides jobs in our community that we need, 40 construction jobs, 70 permanent jobs, around $700,000 in new tax revenue every year after the hotel is built. So I think it's a win-win-win for our community, and that's the most important thing.
What about the latest from Al Shuffleberger and his offer on this for $1 million?
You know, I think we need to hear more, get more information. You know, I've just read what I have in the newspaper, and so that's, I don't think that's enough information to make a you know, make a comment.
Okay, so yes on A?
Yes on
B. Yes on B?
Yes.
Measure F?
I'm 3 for 3. I'm yes on F. The reason is we're at that, you know, pretty critical point in our community that we need revenue to hire more police officers, more CSO officers, and have the funds to send criminals away to outside of our county because our jail is full, and increase the work release program that is a consequence for, you know, people committing crimes. So it gives our community members the opportunity to increase revenue for a very specific purpose, which is written into the proposal, which is the second to last paragraph in the ordinance. You can read it on the last page of your ballot. So it's very specific on how we use the money, and I'm in favor of that because I think we need to look at all revenue opportunities.
Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest is Christian Schrader. I'm here, with, of course, with Gary Hayward, my co-host today from Wind River. When we come back, I don't know, Gary, I think one of the things that Gary and I were talking about was, what happens if this doesn't pass? What would you do as a city council person if Measure F doesn't pass to get cops on the street? We'll be right back.
Living in a country where we're free, we sometimes take for granted the men and women who have made sacrifices for that freedom, our veterans. Hundreds of local veterans are in need of transportation to work and doctor's appointments. Join us this Thursday at Cornerstone Community Bank, East Cypress Avenue in Hempstead, and make a cash donation to provide our veterans free RABA bus passes. Help salute our veterans and help make their day-to-day lives easier. It's the least we can do.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the Chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Shasta County supervisors tried to pass a ban on outdoor medical marijuana cultivation. This new proposed law will be on the November 4th ballot, and it's called Measure A. Measure A will force all patients to store their marijuana in a specifically designed and permitted detached accessory structure, costing the patient over $12,000 to build. Without this building, Measure A will make both the outdoor cultivation and storage of medical marijuana a misdemeanor charge for thousands of otherwise legal patients in Shasta County. Vote no on Measure A. With Measure A, the county and/or sheriff's department could inspect your property without a warrant, solely on the merit of suspicion of cultivation. Measure A is a violation of constitutional rights. Vote no on Measure A. Protect your rights and register to vote before October 20th, then show up to the polls to vote. Vote no on Measure A. This ad was paid for by the Shasta County Citizens No on Measure A Ballot Committee.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past 2 years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Gary Hayward today. Gary's my co-host for today, and you know, we do this on a regular basis because I'm looking at turning the show over to Gary one day, and I'm just going to say, I'm going to just get up, and you're ready, man, you're ready. And then here's Maria. Maria's dancing over here now. Give me a chance. Give me a chance. Give me a chance. I have. Okay. Anyway, we're here with Kristen Schrader, who's running for city council. It's 5 days away now.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? No, yeah, I mean, okay, now where's your party at?
We're going to be downtown at Senior Roses. I want to support downtown, and we'll be there probably beginning about 7:30. They're actually usually closed at that time, but they're opening for us, and we're going to invite our committee and our supporters and volunteers to come and join us.
Well, next Tuesday on election night, Linda and I, we take over the airwaves here, and we go from place to place and talk to the candidates, people who are running during that evening. And people that are like backing the different different measures, but also the candidates. And if it's okay with you, we'll probably wander in there and talk to you and put it on the air and, you know, early.
We'll be close by.
Okay. Yeah. And then we've got, there's just a number of different groups having it at different places. So it's a good night for us to go from spot to spot and drink free. Mm-hmm. Okay. What happens if Measure F doesn't pass? You're on the city council. We need police. What are you going to do?
Well, we need to evaluate the priorities that the chief of police has actually prepared and presented to the city council a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. He calls it his course of action plan. He actually lists out a number of things that he's doing already that, with the funding that he has already, which includes, for example, one of the things we need to identify is a strategic plan for homelessness. But the way to fund anything without Measure F would be to prioritize the funding that the city council has access to making decisions about, having the staff report to the city council, evaluate after July 1 if we had increased revenues over what we had budgeted from the previous year and what kind of money might be available. And if it's available, then and it doesn't have priorities like we have an immediate need to pay a PERS payment or something, then we need to prioritize it for public safety and look through the list of things the chief has presented on what he thinks the most important things are. The key is we need to find more money to hire officers because it is a deterrent to crime. The chief has mentioned that in many of his meetings he goes to. CSO officers are very important because then that releases the ability for more sworn officers to be on the street. More police is, I believe, a strong deterrent to criminal activity.
Okay. So cutting back on other divisions within the city to put cops on the street?
Oh, I mean, all things should be on the table. Although, I think I've met with every department director at the city because it's important to learn about the programs and departments and funding, levels. Wow, there are departments there that are working with far less funds than they had before, and they're doing as good a job as they can. I have a hard time believing you could cut any more back. They're on furloughs. They have some of the directors have five departments that they're that they're overseeing. Everything should be on the table. I think the key is looking forward. In February, there's the biannual review of the budget. We have, just the highest priority is to find money for public safety. And I'll have to add, when I'm talking about public safety, it's also fire because we have three firefighters and six apprentices that are on a hired through a SAFER grant that goes away next year also. So, and our fire department is down staff as well as the police
also
department.
Also, some of the highest paid staff on the whole city are fire captains.
Not the
firemen, but the management.
I'm focused on, you know, what we can do with the funding we have available. The amount of pay we provide for our employees, you know, is based on recommendations and evaluation of what the job is.
Done by the staff.
Yes, but I think in recent times they've looked at, they've compared what we're paying our employees to other communities of the similar size. We do the, in public education, we do the same thing. If we're reevaluating positions, or reclassifying them, we ask our staff to provide us with like school districts and how much they're paid, so that we can see what other people value those positions to make an educated judgment.
I don't see a lot of teachers leaving the area here.
Well,
and for sure none of the superintendents, all 24 of them. But that's got nothing to do with
that's
this.
A whole different subject. I'm right. Just using that as an example.
Well, I'm using it for an example too, because the staff gives how much it is. We've got unfunded liabilities of $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to pay for that, Kristen?
Well, we pay for it as we need to, based on what PERS is, giving the direction on how much each annual payments are for the employer share, and the employees now pick up a percentage of their share, which, and also we have, as of January 1, 2013, we have PEPRA, which is the state imposed a change to retirement benefits for employees hired after that date, which will take a little while to, see the benefits of. So, and going forward, the city and city council, with the direction from city council, need to negotiate in a respectful way to make a balanced budget through, the needs that we have for what we pay our employees to maintain good quality employees and what we can afford for our pensions.
I think, something that hasn't came up, and I haven't heard really any of the candidates talk about, there's a lot of programs, a lot of issues that have to be addressed, how we fund these. No one's really talking about the bigger picture of how do we get more business here to create more revenue. I haven't heard any discussion on that, so I'm just curious where you're at with that.
Oh, that's a great question. We've talked in the last few months about different ideas. Other candidates have talked about ideas. One of the things I've attended a couple of workshops lately and presentations about economic development. I learned a lot recently about the opportunities local businesses have to increase their export potential, and the state and federal government have new programs that are providing expert assistance. One of the things I think we need to look at is how do we collaborate better in our community between the city and the county, all cities, county, to really look at a way that we can increase the draw for future companies or expanding existing companies. The city council has, just approved and revised their incentive plan for businesses locating in Reading, which includes job credits and also includes, Carl will like this, I think, streamlining the building permit approval process. It's
that would be nice.
Well, you know what? We had Bill Nagel on the other day, and I know Bill. And I think Bill's heart's in the right spot. But mm-hmm. You know what? The proof's in the pudding on this. And I would expect my city council person to hold their feet to the fire. And if they weren't doing it after all these plans are, is to put somebody in there that would. Now, I'm not advocating wholesale firing, but Gary, you're a businessman, right? And if you've got people there, this is our vision, this is how we're going to do it, and they're not doing it, you need to replace them.
Well, the way,
and I'm not saying replacement because they are doing it. I'm just saying those that don't get on the pony need to get off the pony.
Well, this is a good example where, Carl, when you've invited the city council candidates in, and then you have department directors in talking specifically. You ask good questions of Bill.
Yeah.
He provided a lot of information.
I thought he did.
He answered your questions about.
I'm not talking about Bill. I'm just talking about.
But about the issues, which were what about fees, impact fees, whether we should do another moratorium. But more specifically, going back to how. I think the city council sets a direction for all policy issues, which can include how do we evaluate the success or the productivity of the building building department or the development department, and are they meeting the needs of our community for businesses coming in or businesses who want to expand? And the term is accountable. So you set goals, and then you have a time that you look at and you measure whether you've met your goal. We're going to be, you know, everybody should be accountable for, do we set the right goal? Do we have the right timeline? And can we assess it properly? And if it's not working, then we need to reassess and set new goals, but be realistic about what it is we want to try and accomplish. So partly the answer to your question is we do need to have a responsive building department that, you know, recognizes the needs of businesses so that we can have businesses look at Reading and say, yeah, or the Shasta County area, we want to move here because it's, you know, friendly to business. And, you know, and besides having the wonderful amenities we have, you know, the outdoors, we want to have a city government that welcomes new businesses.
Yeah, it'd be great for someone who's interested to look at it as an incentive to come here rather than a deterrent. Mm-hmm. And that would be awesome to see happen, you know.
I would like to see that. You know, like and Bill said this too, is that when they did that moratorium on fees, that it shot up like 400%. The problem is it's hard to quantify how much money came into the city during that time frame because you've got the building and then you've got the houses that were sold and so then you got property taxes and then the people living there and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's an economy that's hard to track where, you know, without the building fees, this much money did not come in.
$1.7 million.
Yeah, and so now how do you keep the sewers, you know, how do you keep the pumping stations going in all this? So it's, you know, it's hard to quantify it. On the other hand, there are, you know, again, with a lot of anecdotal comments, is that people are saying we're spending a lot of money out here on permit fees, on these fees. So, hey, our guest is Kristen Schrader, and she's running for Reading City Council. And we're talking about bringing in business to the Reading area. Now, government doesn't provide it does provide jobs, but it doesn't build businesses. But they can do things, like Gary just said, on making businesses making it more conducive for businesses wanting to come here.
Well, that's where you get an incentive program that works. You assess what the policies are to that interact with the businesses, and and you market what you have so that everybody knows what they have, and you communicate well, you know, what the opportunities are here locally. The additional way we could do is to, you know, fund economic development strategies, you know, possibly through an endowment, raise money locally so that we're, you know, self-determining. If we raise money locally, we're not relying on government assistance, but we raise money locally to support better strategies for economic development as a community-wide effort. So I think there's new ways we can look at this.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward. Our guest is Kristen Schrader, candidate for Reading City Council.
Of the rising city crime rate due to our ever-increasing transient at AB 109 population, a yes vote on Measure F would send a clear and simple message to criminals. You will serve your time. Shasta County has had its AB 109 budget cut and a limit placed on the number of felons that can be returned to prison. If the limit of criminals returned to prison is exceeded, further budget cuts will occur, allowing more felons to roam our streets to commit more crimes. Monies generated by Measure F will be used for support personnel and to send criminals convicted in Shasta County to other counties, freeing up our jail to keep convicted criminals in and not being released to commit further crimes. 75% of the budget would be used to purchase 37,000 days of incarceration in other counties. Measure F will provide an ongoing revenue stream to get the AB 109ers and transients under control. Vote yes on Measure F, and let's get them out of town. Paid for by the Committee for Yes on Measure F.
At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer, not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I have the skills and experience to collaborate and work with other council members to find effective solutions. I'll make sure our city is safe and maintain our infrastructure. As a business owner and elected school trustee for the past 16 years, I know how to make tough choices and balance budgets. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Just a programming note, stand by is not go.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. The pros from Dover are here. Phone lines here, 605-4567, 8:35 in the morning. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I'm loving this chat room going here. You know, Bubba and Get a Clue and S Flow and all of them. I just love this. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time. Great haircuts, great prices, discounts for veterans and seniors. Man's last stronghold.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, good. You're the man. You've been down there too, huh? You know, it's like the Cheers of barbershops.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, you go in there and you talk. DC Tim and the man in black, Logan. It's a great place. Right off Athens Avenue, Cypress Square, of course, shopping center right across from Subways.
And I understand there. Logan had to change out his whole outfit after you named him the man in black.
I know. He's kind of like the man in purple. So. Anyway, okay, hey, look, our guest is Kristen Schrader, who's running for Reading City Council. Let's go to the phones. We got the phones backed up here. All right, Ruth, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have a question for your guest, and I wanted to get back to your point, Carl, about the 26 school superintendents, and Kristen is in the school system. So I wanted to find out, you know, there's talk about cutting the cops and the firemen and all that, but we never seem to address this one issue where bigger cities have had one superintendent. And so I want to get her thoughts on having 26.
Well, that's not within the, you know, purview of city council, but I can explain that in areas where we have been able to consolidate or have a joint leadership administrative, I was part of the Reading School District when we formed a partnership to reduce the amount of administrators on the west side of Shasta County. So Reading School District provided the administrative services to Shasta Elementary, French Gulch, Igoona, Platina. So we saved money on administrative costs, reduced the number of administrators, and really ran a great program so that there are models in our community that have worked. Just recently, the Shasta Union High School District, the County Office, and Enterprise, and Reading School District got together, and we did a joint plan on transportation, how we possibly consolidate the use of our buses and transportation so we could reduce costs. So there are ways that we can approach it. As far as the number of administrators, that's totally a local control issue that school districts and need to address, but there are models that have worked in our community already that I've been part of.
Well, in Memphis, as I forget how many million kids are in the system, got one school superintendent.
Well, we're, you know, California is a state that allows, you know, for individual districts to be K, you know, all different varieties. Now, in other states, they only have kindergarten through 12th grade unified school districts. It happens in California that we do have these models, and in our county, we have had these models for a long time. Not to say, you know, evaluation of, mm-hmm. of how we can consolidate, you know, can work. Going forward.
Okay. And I think the question on that was, you know, specifically because you were on the school board. So the questions on that.
Sure.
So you guys transferred from your knowledge and what you do on the school board over to city council.
Well, it's certainly a benefit to me that I have been involved in balancing public fund budgets, evaluating the needs of our students in our case, and making sure that our curriculum is provided for, you know, that meets our needs for students now and into the future. Also, we have to implement state and federal laws, for our kids and in the program. So it translates over to working in city council because you have the same requirements of looking at what our needs are and evaluating it with thorough evaluations and making prioritizing our funds, prioritizing what our needs are, and making decisions.
Okay, let's go to the phones. TJ, good morning. Do you have a question for Kristen?
Yes, I do. And good morning. How are you doing, Kristen?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So I know there's been a lot of controversy over the story that broke about you possibly violating campaign law. But what I heard was that you followed what the FPPC.
I think you're talking about somebody else.
That's Brent Weaver, TJ.
Did I miss Brent Weaver?
No. Brent will be on tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We can wait. And call tomorrow. He's going to be on at 8 o'clock.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You bet. No problem. And speaking of Brent Weaver, he said that if he was sitting on the city council, he would like to have Kristen Schrader on one side and Francie Sullivan on the other. So if you were sitting on the city council, who would you like to be sitting on both sides of you?
Well, Carl, my answer to that, I will work with anyone that is elected. It's the choice of the public to decide who, you know, they're voting for to sit at city council. As I have in the past, I've worked with many different members of school boards over 16 years. The goal is to really evaluate what the needs are, and you work with anybody that, you know, work with the whole team. So if there are five council members, then I need to be able to figure out how to work with everybody to accomplish the goals for the best decisions for the whole city. Not, you know, I don't get to choose besides who I get to vote for, you know, who the city council members are. But I have experience in working with everyone and collaborating with a lot of different people. So it's I would like to work with the city council that all can come together and make decisions that are in the best interest of the city of Reading. And so whoever that is, I'm willing to work with anyone and everyone that's comes to the table in city council.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, in direct question to these moratorium on the impact fees, Patrick Jones, over the course of the last few years, has tried to get a motion passed by the city council to reduce that, such as they did in that moratorium period that generated $14 to $16 million worth of building construction. And my point is simply that the $1.4 million that you lost, or quote-unquote lost, you still made $2.8 million. This has to be looked at seriously, and if we don't get a building moratorium or impact fee moratorium in this area, there are hundreds and hundreds of construction workers that are sitting out here begging to go to work, and the city council can't raid their piggy bank. They've got $12 million worth of residual surplus. Open up the construction industry, get some building going on, the retail tax, the suppliers, all the assessments of what's being built will absolutely drown what little bit of money the city is trying to hoard. And I swear to God, this has to be done. I'll take my answer off here.
Okay, Billy Bob, thank you. Billy Bob is consistent on this when he's talking to every one of the candidates. on this because he's been in the construction trade. I talked to a lot of construction guys that they have to leave the area to get jobs. And this is, frankly, this is our industry. This is our manufacturing industry is construction.
It is, and that's one of the reasons I'm supporting, you know, building the hotel. It is, right. You know, 40 only, but it's 40 construction jobs. To answer the question about the moratorium, which was implemented, voted on in 2011 and implemented in 2012, and it applied to 200 homes. And as your speaker recently, Bill Nagel, talked about, it did increase, you know, the number of homes built and, you know, in value into the community. The problem is that it has to be looked at on balance. You know, we did lose $1.7 million in what is calculated to be impact fees that are needed to maintain the level of services that have been the city has, you know, through studies, determined over a 20-year period what they need to keep maintain sewer, water, you know, roads. So we have to look at a balance of whether, you know.
Well, do you think maybe they could be reduced then? So I mean, if what Billy Bob has been pretty consistent and with his figures and with other people saying is the amount of money that's been. You know, that's spent or, well, you know, it generates. I mean, is there a way of taking a look at this and saying, you know what, let's cut back on these fees? Well, would you look at that?
Sure. And it was looked at in 2012. They did a study. And in August of 2013, the city council reduced fees overall by a little less than $1,000. So they reevaluated all of the impact fees and, you know, for building, which, you know, impact traffic, sewer, water, and they did reduce it. So it, you know, then we could evaluate it again. And it is a study that's done by, you know, you hire out to look at the study, a nexus that's done between what our needs are and, you know, what the impact is from the growth of new homes.
See, and that's a good question, Carly, you had, because we haven't gotten any follow up on what have they adjusted to make it work, have a happy median?
There's got to be something there because it cost – I didn't realize this until the other day. It's $30,000 in fees to build a mid-size house here in Reading. $30,000 in fees.
That's before anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's – they pay that up front, and then that gets passed on to the buyer of the house. So, I mean, there's got to be something in there that, you know, that – we need our city council to sit down there, and which is what you've said, is to look at this and come up with something so that we can jumpstart these builders again.
All right. So it's a fair question, and you know they have the tools to be able to make the evaluation as they did 2 years ago, and they did reduce the fees by
less than $1,000.
Yeah, by it is. So it can be evaluated again.
Okay. Hey, we've got to take a break. Sally, you're up next. It's got a question for Kristen. Carl Bott and Gary Hayward, we're here. It's Wednesday, 53 degrees out there, and it's going to be a nice day. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I have the skills and experience to collaborate and work with other council members to find effective solutions. I'll make sure our city is safe and maintain our infrastructure. As a business owner and elected school trustee for the past 16 years, I know how to make tough choices and balance budgets. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the Chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Living in a country where we're free, we sometimes take for granted the men and women who have made sacrifices for that freedom, our veterans. Hundreds of local veterans are in need of transportation to work and doctor's appointments. Join us this Thursday at Cornerstone Community Bank, East Cypress Avenue in Hempstead, and make a cash donation to provide our veterans free RABA bus passes, help salute our veterans, and help make their day-to-day lives easier. It's the least we can do.
This is Carl Bott. Join Crown Motors and their salute to the veterans. From October 27th through Veterans Day, November 11th, there will be a 10% discount for all parts and labor in their service department for our veterans with proof of service. Additionally, on November 10th and 11th, $100 from every car purchase will be donated to two local veterans organizations. Linda and I will be at Crown Motors November 10th and 11th from 7 to 9 a.m. to celebrate their salute to the veterans. Crown Motors and CrownMotorsReading.com. Crown Motors, a salute to those who have served.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Gary Hayward are here today, and this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service. All makes and models of heating and cooling systems, and it's getting colder out there. Have you had your heater checked? Have you had the filters changed? Have you had the air ducts checked? I tell you what, Alliance Heating and Air can do that. Give them a call at 221-2642. They're doing it at our house, and we've had nothing but great service from Martin and his people out there. Check out homecomfort.org, their website. Alliance Heating and Air, you got an emergency? They're going to work on it for you. But if it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Alliance Heating and Air. And instead is Gary Hayward's with me here, the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino. And we're going to make this into a regular basis. So I can, you know.
Keep saying that.
You know what? Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, I'm. It's getting more comfortable. I'm loving it. Linda came in and the pressure was on. You know, it's.
I won't reach over and grab your leg, though. No.
I'm trying to make Linda proud right now.
Well, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Our guest is Christian Schrader, who's running for Ready City Council. And
yeah, we've got a caller on the line. Sally?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just have a quick question, and I'll take my answer off the air. A few minutes ago, you were talking about the school system, and I was wondering if you support the Common Core curriculum.
Well, I did address that at the Tea Party forum that we had, and it is not really related to the City Council, but I'd be happy to share my thoughts about that. Common Core really is a national effort, not inspired and not directed by federal government or an overall government approach. It's individual governors and education experts got together who define what we think the best curriculum is for our students to be the best prepared for post high school career or job career or college. And so in a nutshell, Common Core is designed to improve critical thinking skills in our students. And one of the two curriculums that were that are being addressed are English, language arts, and math. So we are addressing, changing the curriculum there, and the key is, and I think it's the best thing I've seen. And the most important thing is our students not only need to learn and understand history and learn how to, you know, write and be prepared for college or career, but they need critical thinking skills, and that's the most important thing I think that Common Core brings for our students. And it helps.
A lot of people would disagree with you. A lot of people would say that the best place for deciding what our children are taught is local.
And
argue against that?
No, the job of implementing any curriculum is left to the local school boards, working with administration and a team approach, and working with our teachers. So we have staff development. Our whole county has gotten together and deciding about what areas in math are to be addressed. So no, we have made those decisions at a local level on how to implement Common Core. So that you're right. It is, it's important to have local decisions, and which I've been a part of.
Okay. But it really does turn our whole school system over to the federal government.
No, it's not a federal. It's not federally mandated that we have Common Core. It was a program that was designed by governors across the country, and it was adopted by each state. And then at the local level is where we work on the actual curriculum that our teachers are.
And what happens if a state chooses not to accept the Common Core curriculum?
Then they don't. Then they don't accept it. And some states have chosen.
And they don't
to
get the money.
It's not driven by money.
Hey, Sally, this is a great subject that we need to talk about. And I think I want to try and get Tom Armolino on.
Sure.
And have him talk Common Core with a couple other people. I need to ask questions about vision right now and where we're going with the city. But we're also having Mr. Noriega on the show talking about Common Core also
in a
week or so. You bet. Say thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, Kristen, vision. What's your vision for Reading?
My vision is that we meet the needs of our citizens and our businesses by providing the best public safety that we can, with fire and police. And I'll go back to the question that I might not have thoroughly answered, which is, we need to evaluate the budget very carefully to make sure that we find every available dollar that we can spend to fund our public safety needs. It is one of the highest priorities that we have going forward, and right after November election, whether F passes or not, especially if it doesn't pass, we need to really dig deep and find resources that can fund the needs we have. As far as other things, economic interests, obviously that question came up, and I really think we need to put our heads together, work with the community organizations like Superior California Economic Development, the EDC, Economic Developments, all cities and counties need to come together. Cities and the county need to come together and figure out really an overall approach to how we can make it better for businesses to locate here in Reading. So it's not just Reading coming up with the key component ideas. I think we need to collaborate better and to build a better environment for businesses to locate. And that's why we need to have tax sharing discussions again with the county so that we're not competing. If a business comes, which line do they, they want to build on, and we need to really put our heads together because it's a new era. I think we can't rely on federal or state funds to come in and make the difference. I think we should be more self-reliant, possibly come up with funding through an endowment that will help us, create greater strategies, more effective strategies for economic development. We need to work harder together locally. The vision for a specific downtown project would be great to have a public-private partnership or more public-public partnerships so that we really address the needs of aging infrastructure just downtown or Park Marina. We need to really evaluate. So I hope that at the end of 4 years, should I be successful in getting elected, that we can look back. I would like to look back and say, look how much we've accomplished. If it's just starting to plan certain projects because it takes a number of years to get things going, then we've made improvements. And that's how I've always approached my involvement in the community is what can I do to make a difference and how can I, for 20 years I have been on the ground working hard in our community to make a better community, build a better community through nonprofits, through creating greater community awareness and collaborating. So my extensive experience on the school board helps me understand how you make public policy in the city or in a school district and how you need to prioritize the funding that you have and recognize the needs for all community citizens and work together as an effective city council to address those needs, collaboratively, all five city council members working with the team of administrators and staff, really focused on positive, productive ways that we can benefit our community.
Okay. Now, I've got a couple other questions here that have come through.
Okay.
Would you support a large internet pipeline that comes in and is a drop here, like the big pipes that would allow big or high-tech companies to come in here and be connected to everybody else in the world?
Well, if whatever's economically feasible for companies to come in, if the city can work with them or the county works with, provide incentives to get greater development to access technology, I think we need to look at that.
Do you support body cams for the police?
Yes, the police chief has already recommended that, and the city council approved moving forward with that. It's, you know, there's a big training period that needs to happen.
We've seen a number of raises that have gone to the management at city and at REU, $200,000 at the city that could have been used for community service officers, and I think there's another $500,000 over at REU. I could be wrong about that, $300,000 over at REU. During this time when we can't put police on the street, would you have supported that?
Well, I'll answer that question by saying any expenditure of funds is as small as $200,000 in a general fund budget of $68 million. Every proposed expenditure needs to be thoroughly evaluated for what is the purpose and what are the needs and prioritize the needs. So going forward, I think any proposed increases in wages need to be evaluated. Are we paying that person, position, what is, can be justified? And then, because we need to pay our staff well to have quality
people.
Is
it more important for that, or is it more important to put cops on the street?
Well, if you look at it like that, it's obviously very important to have police on the street.
That's the way most everybody looks at it.
And if you're looking at REU, from what I've been going to city council meetings since January of 2013, and what I've seen in the reports, periodic reports are that we have huge number of vacancies in REU, which is, potentially going to impact the ability to maintain, the utilities as adequately as we need to. So we have to consider what we need to spend our money on to maintain quality workers and maintain our services.
Okay. Now, how do people get a hold of Kristen Schrader?
Schrader2014.com, 245-4581. And please consider voting for Kristen Schrader on November 4th.
Gary.
Good job. One question real quick. So when you win and if you get on council, I would like you to share the priorities of the city council with everybody.
Sure.
Because we never get that.
Yeah.
That's really a great point. Okay. Hey, tomorrow, Brent Weaver. Plus, we're going to be out at Rabba. We're going to be collecting money for veterans tomorrow at Cornerstone Bank. Remember, the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Back
down. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. U.S. troops coming home from Ebola fighting duty in West Africa will be kept in supervised isolation for 21 days. Defense Secretary Hagel has approved the plan recommended by the military brass. A nurse who cared for West Africa Ebola patients says that she is prepared to fight a quarantine that the state of Maine considers voluntary.
I remain appalled by these home quarantine policies that have been forced upon me. Even though I am in perfectly good health and feeling strong and have been this entire time completely symptom free.
Casey Hickox on NBC's Today Show, she threatens to sue. Crews are searching for debris from the rocket that exploded on liftoff last evening on the Virginia coast. Not only did that rocket carry supplies for the International Space Station, it also held two